to read a psalm.
That's not necessarily our Bible study this morning, but I referred to it yesterday, I think. Anyway, it's Psalm 101. Psalm 101. On Sunday mornings, we're a little pressed for time. We have a lot of talks down there in the village, presentations, and so I usually have to cut my sermon in half. And you probably didn't think it was in half, and probably glad that you didn't hear the whole thing if that was half. But there were some things I left out. But I did mention at the end of my talk that when the Lord sent those angels to Sodom, some weren't there, of course, the ladies had to leave by before then. We talked about Sodom and Gomorrah and how the wickedness of that city came up before the Lord, and the Lord sent his angels to go see what things were like there. And we found that the angels didn't walk up and down the streets of Sodom and see what was going on and how wicked the people were, but they ended up in a Lot's house, the house of what we would call a Christian. And they saw what was going on there and what the condition of those lives were. And they came to the conclusion that this city needed to be destroyed. And in God's mercy, he dragged Lot out and his two daughters. The wife came along as well, but she turned around. And evidently there was a love for the world in her. And she just had to look back. And there was a hesitation. And she was overcome by the fire and brimstone and turned into a pillar of salt. But I mentioned there that God was interested in seeing what was going on in the home of the Christian. He knows how evil New York City can be and other places. He knows all about what wicked people do and how wicked they can be. But he looks into the home of the Christian to see if any of the world got in there. If they're being the light in that city that God has called them to be, if they're being the salt that God wants them to be, or if they're just compromising, watering down their testimony, and having little to no effect upon the people around them. I mentioned that the governor of Texas recently declared a day of prayer for his state. And he said, I want the Christians to get together and not pray for the sins of America, but to pray for the sins of the church. He felt that we spend too much time praying for other people's sins when God wants to clean up his church and put his power upon his people to be the blessing and the influence in society that he has called them to be. There are a lot of people that were very concerned about no prayer in school, and they made quite a protest against not having prayer in school, but I wonder how much prayer they had in their home. You know, we can get taken up with a lot of issues and moral issues, but the Lord is really looking into our hearts, first of all. Judgment begins with the house of God. That's where God wants to clean up first. And I think sometimes we don't see God working in our town, in our city, in our country, in the way that we pray that he would. And part of that is because we got it backwards. We're praying that God will clean up America, and God wants to clean up his church first. And so Psalm 101 just speaks to us about that a little bit. I was at a wedding years ago. Brother Edwin was conducting the wedding. Maybe it was one of the first weddings that I attended when I first came to Ridgewood. But for some reason, I remember it was Daniel and Erica's wedding. And this was the text that Brother Edwin preached on, Psalm 101. As you begin your new life together and start your home together, this is what God wants, and this ought to be your goal. This is what you ought to together strive for and believe God for. And I've shared that at weddings myself since then. I will sing of mercy and judgment. I will sing of your love and justice, it says in the NIV. To you, O Lord, I will sing praise. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Here again, the NIV, I have both translations before me. I will be careful to lead a blameless life. When will you come to me? I like that the psalmist interjected that question or that cry. Because you can get the impression the person's just trying to be a very moral person and hold to a very high moral standard and look down on everybody else that doesn't live that way. But that's not it at all. The reason that he's wanting to live a life, a holy life, is so that the presence of Jesus can come into his home and into his life more greatly. That's why he's doing it. He's doing it to please the Lord, and he's doing it to open the way for God to manifest himself in his home. And so he says, oh, when will you come to me? Lord, I just want you to know behind all of my, you know, striving to live according to certain standards, it's not so that I can pat myself on the back and say that I'm better than others, or I can look down on those that don't live that way and make judgments about them. But it's because I want you in my home. I want your presence in my home. I want your peace and your love to be present and evident in my family and so on. And so that's why I want to live a life of obedience. Praise God. And that softens that, I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but it takes the harshness and the drudgery out of living a life of obedience when we see it as a means of bringing God's blessing into our life and bringing his presence into our lives and homes. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? In the King James, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. The word perfect heart, that phrase, you see that in other places in the Bible. And it doesn't mean that you're perfect in the sense that you don't make any mistakes and that you do everything right, but that your heart is in the right place. That you're always reaching out for more of Jesus. You're always wanting to please him more. You're always, when you make a mistake, you're wanting to correct that and repent and get right with God. That's what having a perfect heart is. It's having your heart in the right place. And God can develop that in us even now and help us to keep striving to be all that God wants us to be. And then he gets very specific and very practical. He talks about his TV set. I don't know if he had one. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes.
Amen.
Why, that? We got to be careful with that thing. And somebody said, we were talking about cable. I know there are a lot of good things on cable. There's a Discovery Channel. I guess that's good. Sometimes when I go to people's homes or they have cable, we watch some things. But I don't have cable at home. And one reason is I'm too cheap. I don't want to spend the money. But, you know, it's very easy to get caught up with that. They make those programs to interest you. That's their goal. They want to keep you watching. And you know, you can get taken up with a lot of things. And then inevitably you're going to see something that you shouldn't have seen. And something's going to get into your head that shouldn't have been there. And I told someone just recently, I want to get further away from that, not closer to it. And so, anyway, that's just one way in which we can defile ourselves by putting things before our eyes that don't please the Lord. But there are other ways too, of course, things that we read and so on. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. NIV, deeds of faithless men I hate. They will not cling to me. In other words, I'm not going to live the way other people live that don't know God. I'm not going to admire them. I'm not going to try to emulate them in any way. My heroes are those that have given themselves fully to the Lord and are living for his kingdom, and not the heroes of the world and the idols of the world. And then he goes on and he says, a froward heart or perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person of nothing to do with evil. I might as well keep reading in the NIV. I keep going back to it, right? Whoever slanders his neighbor in secret, him will I put to silence. Talks about our conversation, slandering others. I don't want anything to do with that. And if someone comes up to me and wants to talk somebody down, I'm going to tell them, stop. We don't talk that way in our home. I'm not interested in hearing those things. You know, takes a little courage to take that stand. But you can do it in a way that is not especially offensive. And if they do get offended, well, maybe they needed to. I don't know. Whoever has haughty eyes and a proud heart, him will I not endure. I want to walk humbly before God. And I don't want to be part of those that look down and are proud, self-sufficient, and so on. My eyes will be on the faithful in the land, that they may dwell with me. He whose walk is blameless will minister to me. He talks about the people that he'll choose to fellowship with. You know, we have to rub shoulders with many different types of people. God put us in the world, and he wants us to stay here for a while. And so he wants us to be a blessing. We don't want to separate ourselves from everyone that doesn't know the Lord or doesn't live the way we think they should. But as far as those that you choose to fellowship with, choose to spend your time with, and knowing that they're going to have an influence on you, you want to make wise choices. You want to choose people that really love the Lord and that are going to encourage you to seek God, encourage you to live a holy life and not try to pull you in another direction. When I was in high school, I had a lot of friends, but they weren't Christians, most of them. And they were always trying to get me to do something I wasn't supposed to do. And they were well-meaning. They were having fun doing these things, and they wanted to include me. Let's go out and drink. Let's go out and do this and that. And I began to pray, Lord, give me a good Christian friend. All I need is one. And the Lord sent a fella into my life. He came to church with us. He got saved. And he really loved the Lord. And boy, I spent most of my time with Bill. And we would pray together. And, you know, it was always interesting to me. Saturday night, we had prayer meeting in church. I think they still do out in Long Island. Assembly of God Church. And we'd go to prayer meeting. And then afterwards, we'd go get a cup of coffee or something. And then we'd sit in the car and talk. And Saturday night always ended up that way, sitting in the car and talking. And talking about things that guys talk about, I guess. And Sunday morning, almost every Sunday morning, the preacher touched upon things that we were talking about in our car. So I searched the car for any bugging devices and didn't find any. And then it began to dawn on me that it was the Holy Spirit. He was listening to our conversations. He was concerned about what me and Bill were concerned about. And almost every Sunday morning when the preacher preached, Bill would look at me and I'd look at him, and that meant, you know, just what we talked about last night, you know. Has it ever happened to you? I'm sure it has. Sarah was mentioning something like that, things that were on her heart, someone got up and spoke about, and she knew that the Lord was talking right to her, and it's just what she needed, you know. David Brainerd was a missionary to the American Indians out in Connecticut and Long Island many years ago. I didn't know him personally, but I enjoyed reading his diary. You can do that when people die. Don't do it before. This was published. But he said that that somebody advised him as a young person. They saw that he had a real heart for God, and they saw that God's hand was upon his life. And so they said, don't waste time hanging around with other guys your age. Get around people that really love God and really know how to pray and seek God. And that'll do you a lot better. And so he did that. I don't know that he didn't have any friends his age, but he sought out older people and he spent time with them. And he learned how to pray and learned how to live for God by watching their lives. You know, this generation gap, Jesus takes that away. I find that in the Church of Jesus, you know, I can enjoy older people as well as younger people. Now, I know, naturally speaking, we gravitate to people, you know, closer to our age, and that's right. But, you know, never look at an older person and say, well, they're too old, I'm young. You know, you can really enjoy fellowship with them. And they have a lot to offer. And don't be afraid to be the only young person in the meeting. Now, sometimes we go to a church and say, well, there's no other young people here. Yeah, but there's a lot of people that love the Lord and are seeking God with all their heart. And they know how to touch God. And a lot of that blessing is going to spill over onto your life if you're sitting next to them. So why not? And anyway, here he speaks about the company that he chooses to be with. And he says, the faithful ones, the ones that really love God, these are the ones I'm going to make friends with. These are the ones that are going to help me to serve the Lord. Surround myself with godly people. You know, I've gotten to a place in my life where I have a lot of godly friends. Brother Eddie, Brother Ernie, I can go down the list. Brother Tom loves the Lord. And I have these different people in my lives. And they've been such a blessing to me. Just my friends help me to be my best for God. They inspire me. They encourage me. I don't have many friends that try to pull me in a different direction. And maybe it's different for you, but you can pray, God, give me those friends that will really help me to serve God. And you'll be surprised. All you need is one, and it'll make all the difference in your life. Praise God. No one who practices deceit will dwell in my house. No one who speaks falsely will stand in my presence. Every morning I will put to silence all the wicked in the land. I will cut off every evildoer from the city of the Lord. Now you need to realize that the king is writing this psalm. And so when he talks about cutting off all the wicked from the city, don't you try that until you become king or queen. But there's some good principles for us that David gives us here. Honoring God in the home. There's a preacher named Adrian Rogers I used to hear on the radio. And I always liked the way he preached. And he always had these little catchy sayings. Now he's gone to be with the Lord, but they still play his tapes once in a while, I understand. But he said something like this: if your Christianity doesn't begin at home, it hasn't begun at all. If your Christianity hasn't begun at home, it hasn't begun at all. And you know, there's really something to that. The way you live in your home, the way you treat your family members, that's your Christianity. You know, outside the home, we make a special effort to be nice to people and to be a witness and to reach out and care. At home, we take everybody for granted. And, you know, if I take out the garbage, no one's going to say, oh, thank you, that was so wonderful you took out the garbage. That's just expected of me. But if I go to my neighbor's house and take out their garbage, they'll say, wow, you do this everywhere you go? This is great. You're some kid. So, you know, we have a tendency to, you know, be very aware of those around us outside the home, and they appreciate everything we do and the kindness that we show, and they're impressed by all that. And so that's what we concentrate on. But at home, we have a tendency to, you know, not be as careful. But that's where we really need to exhibit our Christianity. That's where we really need to live for the Lord. Lord, help me to love my sister, my brother, to be kind to them. You know, I wouldn't speak to anybody else the way I speak to my brother or sister. So what happened? I'm a Christian one way at home and a different way outside the home? Or am I supposed to speak kindly and show love to everybody, even my brother? Well, I remember when God began to speak to me about that, and I began to think about the way I treated my sisters and brother. And I'm not saying that I did wonderfully, but I began to take special notice of that. Say, hold it, Lord, something's wrong here. I'm nice to everybody else, but not to my own siblings. And it should really be the other way around. Or actually, it should be I'm nice to everybody. Anyway, you know, we want God in our homes. We want God's presence in our homes. The Bible speaks about the fact that God wants to make every home a little sanctuary, a little place where his presence dwells. And, you know, we need that. We live in such a wicked world. And you go out into the world and you're subject to so many abuses, and you see people, they're so rude sometimes. Boy, you drive in Canarsie and it's amazing. You know, traffic is stopped. Why is traffic stopped? Because this guy decided to stop and get a cup of coffee, and he didn't want to look for a parking space, so stop right here. Let everybody go around him. I remember driving around this guy when I finally saw why we had so much traffic, and he comes out with a cup of coffee, gets in his car, and drives off. The other day I pulled out of a spot. I didn't think I cut anybody off, but evidently I did. So the guy jams on his brakes, and I said, uh-oh, now I'm in trouble. And I go to the left, and he goes to the left, so I can't pass him. I go to the right, he goes to the right. So I figured, well, I'll just wait here, let him come and yell at me, and then go my way. Because if I try to drive away from him, I'm sure he's going to chase me down. And he did. He came over, and I don't know all that he said. He wanted to kill me, and so he didn't, obviously. I'm here to tell the story. But, you know, there's so much of that. Years ago, you used to see more of, if I missed my left-hand turn, I'll go around the block and try again. But now it's, if I miss my left-hand turn, I'll block the whole traffic until I can get in there and make my turn. And there's so much of that selfishness and lack of consideration. And, you know, you run into that just going to the store. I was online one time. A woman got, you know, she's in front of me. And she invited her friend to come, who also had a tremendous... And I chose that line because I thought it was the shortest. I said, are you... Boy, she got mad at me, and she wanted to beat me up. And she probably could have, believe me. She was a big woman. All right. My wife says, stop talking to people. Just come home alive. And I have to learn to do that. Come home alive. But, you know, you go out into the world and, you know...
Move to Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. Well, even in Pennsylvania, I understand that they have marital problems. Somebody recently got married, and they say there was only about 2 weeks after he was already driving her buggy. Anyway, that is bad. Okay, thank you. Anyway, you'll laugh tonight about 2 a.m. You know, you run into that, and then there are other things that you're subject to, and then you need to be able to come home, and there's the peace of God, and there's the love of God, there's the presence of God. And then other people come into your home and they say, what's different about your family? There's a peace here. The way you treat one another, it's so different. My friend Bowie Curry, who's a minister down in Fredericksburg, Virginia, he said he got saved, or something that led to his salvation, is he was walking on the beach and there were a bunch of Christians playing volleyball. So he and his friends sat and watched them, and they invited him to come and play. And he said the way they played volleyball with each other, the guy missed the ball, nobody cursed him out, or they said, good try, come on. And they had such a nice time together, and they treated each other so kindly that he never saw anything like this before. And then they began to ask questions, and they began to witness, and he found out, of course, that they were Christians, they loved the Lord, and it was just such a drastic, it had such an impact upon his life. And so we have the presence of God in our homes. People feel that when they come in. They don't know what it is, but they like that. When I was growing up, my friends liked to come to my house. We used to hang out at my house. They liked my mother. She was happy all the time and kind to them. Sometimes I go to my friends' houses, and I don't know, the atmosphere was different. Parents were nice, but it was lacking the presence of God. That's what it was. And that blessing of God. And so, as I say, the Lord's more concerned about what's going on in the home of the Christian than what's going on the street in New York City, in some ways. And we can take Psalm 101 and we can pray over that and say, Lord, give me a home like that. Help me to live in such a way that you'll be pleased to come and live in my house with me and manifest your peace and your joy, your blessing there. Praise God. And help me to determine. These things don't just fall on us out of the blue. God looks for people whose hearts are in the right place. And if you really want Jesus, Jesus will really come to you. And if you really determine to live a life that pleases Him, God will take notice of that. And you'll make your mistakes along the way, and you'll have to grow and learn. But your heart, if it's in the right place, God will honor you as you attempt to honor Him. Let's ask God to help us along those lines. And I encourage you, read that psalm again, maybe in another translation, and make it as practical as you can, and the Holy Spirit will show you what He wants. Hallelujah. Lord, bless every home that is represented here this morning. Lord, some come from Christian homes, and we pray that Jesus will really be honored in our homes. Lord, help us to do better. Lord, you know where we can come up to a higher standard and honor Jesus better than we do. Bless our relationships with our loved ones, Lord, especially those that are closest to us that we have a tendency to take for granted. Don't let us live a double standard, treating our family one way and people outside the home another way. But Jesus, make us people of integrity and help us to be consistent in our loving everyone, especially those that are part of our family. Help us to respect our parents, Lord, and teach us how to honor them and work together with them, especially our young people that are growing older now and they're becoming more independent. And yet, Lord, we still have to submit and work together with our parents because you've brought them into our life and you've commanded us to honor them. Show us how to do that. And then, Lord, we pray, help us to be careful about the TV and the radio and the things we listen to and the other gadgets that want to bring the world into our home and into our lives. Jesus, we pray that you will just put such a cry in our heart to live in your presence and to have your presence in our homes that we'll be willing to make any adjustments that are necessary just to have you and to have a refuge to go to where we know that we can meet the Lord and we can have the peace of God and the love of Christ dwelling in our homes. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise God.